Good evening. This is Dennis Smith introducing Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. Tonight we present famous film and radio actor Dick Bentley in a romantic comedy, Dodo in Love, by Harold Brook and Kay Bannerman. Dick Bentley is well known for his appearances in the radio program Take It From Here and has starred in both British and American films. It is with great pleasure that we feature him in tonight's play in the role of Julian Lasseter. Also appearing are the well-known South African actresses Valerie Miller as Addie and Erica Rogers as Rose. Listen in a few moments to Dodo in Love, produced by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. It was recorded before an audience in Durban.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lux Radio Theatre has pleasure in presenting Dodo in Love.
Especially to see you, Eddie.
Jeff, darling, how lovely. Haven't I been clever writing a bestseller? Aren't you pleased with me? Oh, isn't it lovely to be rich?
You're not going to be rich, Eddie.
Not rich, but...
Sit down. I want to ask you a question.
Yes, Jeff.
Eddie, we've known each other a good many years.
Yes, Jeff.
And it's not only that you're my sister-in-law and a widow, Eddie.
No, Jeff.
And I feel responsible for you.
Yes, Jeff.
And I think you'll agree I've always done my best for you, Eddie.
Oh, yes, Jeff.
But the moment has now arrived when we must come to an understanding.
Yes, Jeff, dear. But the answer's still no.
No what?
No, thank you.
Thank you for what?
For proposing to me, Jeff.
I wasn't proposing to you. I'm through with you, Eddie, completely and utterly.
Through with me?
From now on, our relationship is going to be purely professional. Author and agent.
But what have I done?
You've done something so frightful, it makes my blood run cold to think of it. You've written this book, Travels on a Yak?
Yes.
You've called yourself Frank Kitchener?
Yes.
Well, the book should never have been published.
Well, a fine time to tell me that now when it's selling a million. Why didn't you say so when I sent it to you? You're supposed to be my agent, aren't you?
Well, actually, I never read it. I passed it on.
I was clever about this book. I know what makes a bestseller nowadays. It's people being madly brave and doing dangerous things. I'm right in the swing, crossing Tibet on a yak.
You're in the swing, all right. The only difference is that those poor devils rest their necks for their stories while you thought yours up sitting safe and snug at home.
Oh, but surely you didn't expect me to go jolting about on a yak. I'm a writer, not an acrobat.
Addie, don't you realize the enormity of what you've done? Look at this cover. This is the true, unvarnished account of one of the most heroic, momentous travel epics of our time. Frank Kitchener is a hero. Do you know what that means, Addie?
But of course I do. I wrote it.
But you've never set foot in Tibet.
Certainly not. It sounds a ghastly place.
All right, Addie. Since you're taking up this unrepentant attitude, you'd better know. There's an American called Fred Hayter after you.
After me?
He's a very angry young man. You see, Addie, he's actually been to Tibet. He really has ridden across the roof of the world on a yak.
Oh, silly boy, he might have killed himself.
Exactly. Addie, he's really a hero. And what's more, he's written a book.
Oh, dear.
But no publisher will touch it because you got him first.
Oh, dear, that's too bad.
Too bad for you, Addie, when he catches up with you.
No, but he won't. Will he?
Oh, now you've gone too far, Eddie. There's nothing I can do, nothing.
Well, in that case, I'll find another agent to handle my interests. Somebody enterprising.
I doubt if you'll find one idiot enough to handle this disgraceful hoax of yours.
I can, and I will. I'll get my film rights, and serial rights, and everything else. And you're the one who'll be sorry. No, Addie, no 10%.
That finishes it. Goodbye, Addie.
I thought you'd be back.
You thought wrong. I'm leaving by the back door.
Why?
Because that American Fred Hayton is out there.
What? Oh, but Jeff, don't go.
He's all yours, Eddie.
No, no, Jeff, no, wait. Oh, how terrible. Oh, no, I'm off upstairs.
Oh, no, Mommy! Mommy, are you there? Rose! Oh, Rose, it's you. Who did you think it was?
Is there a man out there?
Well, no.
Oh, darling, what a relief to see you. How did you get here, by train?
I got a lift in the back of a scooter.
A man scooter, Rose?
Yes, Mummy.
Oh, darling, how romantic, how madly gay.
Oh, Mummy, there you go again. I came back on Tom's scooter because it was cheaper. I saved the fare.
Oh, Rose, you're always thinking of saving. It's so dull. Why don't you think of spending?
Mummy, I was brought into the world on tick. I was educated on tick, and I lived at home on tick. But I've no intention of getting married on tick.
Married, Rose? Well, there's time enough to think about that when you're engaged to somebody.
But I am engaged.
To the boy who brought you back in his scooter?
Yes, Mummy.
Oh, darling. Oh, how wonderfully, wonderfully exciting. Oh, I'm so happy. I think I'm going to cry.
Mummy, don't go making such a thing about it. Tom and I mean to be perfectly sensible about being in love.
But, Rose, you can't be sensible about love. Love is utter, complete madness.
Well, Miss West says that being in love is just a question of two adult people whose minds and emotions are in complete harmony.
Harmony? A lot Miss West knows about it. Love is blazing rows and passionate reconciliations, crying your heart out and laughing your head off.
Miss West says that marriage is a job like any other.
Miss West is a menace.
Mummy.
Well, she is. How many women would ever marry if they thought it was going to be a job? That's not why women marry.
Then why do they?
Oh, darling. Well, because they think it's going to be fun. And sometimes it is. Being married to your father was fun.
Fun?
From the moment he picked me up.
Daddy picked you up? Where?
In Cannes.
But what were you doing there, being picked up?
I was running away.
With Daddy?
Oh, no, from Julian.
Julian?
Yes, a perfectly charming gentleman I'd eloped with.
Eloped?
Yes. He swept me off my feet with a bunch of mimosa. And the next thing I knew, I was tearing across France in his car. Oh, just like you in the back of that scooter.
Nothing like me and Tom, Mummy. We weren't eloping.
Oh, darling, there's nothing to eloping. You just hop into somebody's car and off you go.
But you can't just take somebody's car.
Oh, I did. When I ran away from Julian, I took Julian's car.
Did he ever get it back?
Well, I really don't know. The moment I set eyes on your father, everything else went out of my head. I drove slap into a lamppost. Oh, now, Rose, that's falling in love.
Well, I think it was an awful thing to do, walking out on this Julian man just like that.
It wasn't just like that. I left him a long letter explaining everything.
It's a wonder something horrible didn't happen to you, like ending up in prison.
Prison? Oh dear. It would be horrible if I ended up in prison, wouldn't it?
Mummy, what have you done? I suppose it's unpaid bills as usual. Well, I'd better send for Uncle Jeff.
Oh, no, no, no. No, you won't, Rose. Old Faithful has gone out of my life for good.
But, Mummy, what are you going to do? Who's going to try and sell your books for you?
Practically anyone I ask.
And, Mummy, people want to read real life stories nowadays. Like this new one about Tibet.
Tibet?
Travels on a yak. Miss West gave it to me as a leaving present. She said the author, Frank Kitchener, ought to be an inspiration to all of us embodying the spirit of youth and adventure. It's a wonderful book and absolutely true.
Well, I must dip into it sometime.
Oh, yes, do. And then you'll see why, as a writer, Mummy, to be quite honest, you're past it. You'd much better retire.
I haven't the slightest intention of retiring, Rose, and certainly not at this moment.
Oh, just a moment. Hello? Oh, yes, Tom, of course. I'll ask her. Mummy? Tom's uncle is in London. May they come round and meet you?
Oh, I suppose so.
Yes, Tom. Come right away. Mummy's longing to meet you. Aren't you, Mummy?
Yes.
Did you hear, darling? She said yes. Goodbye. Now, look, Mummy. This uncle is Tom's only living relative, so we must make a good impression.
Of course, darling. Pop out and buy some champagne.
Well, not that kind of impression. I'll make some coffee.
Are you sure that coffee will make the right impression?
Yes. He's terribly rich and frightfully old world. Could you possibly wear something rather quiet?
A bit of lavender and old lace for the old fellow, eh?
Oh, Mummy, you're laughing at
no,
me.
No, I'm not, darling. Don't worry, I'll try not to let you down. I suppose I'd better go and change.
I shall be a moment.
Hi.
Where did you come from?
Through the window over there.
Who are you?
My name's Fred Hayter. Say, where's Jeffrey Martin?
How should I know?
He came in here, I saw him.
Well, he's not here now.
Oh, so he's given me the slip again. I'm getting sore at being given the runaround. Any minute now, I'll blow my top. Well, who lives here?
My mother and I, and I don't see...
No, ma'am?
Certainly not. I really must make that coffee. Excuse me, Mr. Hayter. Can you find your own way out? Goodbye.
Ruth, do you think this dress will do? Oh, good evening.
Evening, lady. I'm Fred Hayter. I want to ask you a few questions. It's about a guy called Frank Kitchener.
Frank Kitchener?
Yeah. He's written a book called Travels on a Yak. This book. I know it's a hoax. Jeff Martin knows it's a hoax. And I reckon you know it's a hoax.
Me? What have I got to do with it?
A whole lot, I guess. For instance, look here. Frank Kitchener's mail, lady, on your desk. How come?
Fred, I can see I must tell you the whole truth. I've been lying to you. But only because I've been trying to protect Frank Kitchener. He's an old man, Fred. And he's also destitute.
Well, he's not destitute now. He scooped me. He's loaded. I want to get my hands on this guy and his dough.
What are you going to do when you find him?
Oh, what am I going to do? First, I'm going to bash his head against the wall.
Oh.
Then I'm going to take him to pieces bit by bit like this, see?
Oh!
And unless you have any scruples about it, ma'am, I'll just stick around here till he drops by for his mail.
No. You see, he's not coming for his mail. I'm sending it on to
where,
him.
Where?
Birkenhead. He's staying with his mother at the Elms, Park Avenue. Oh, dear. Now, I've given it away. Oh, I've been awful.
Okay, lady, I won't tell a soul. Now, the Elms, Park Avenue, Birkenhead. I reckon I'll just slide along there and see him.
Well, give him my love.
Lady, it'll be a pleasure.
Oh, dear, that was awful.
Mommy, what's the matter? Are you all right?
Oh, just nervous, darling. How do I look?
Oh, lovely, just right.
Who's that?
Tom, of course, and his uncle.
Oh,
Mommy, you are nervous. Now, don't worry. Tom's going to love you, and the old uncle's probably gaga.
Hello, Rose. This is my uncle.
How do you do? Please come in. Mommy, this is Tom and his uncle.
Oh, how do you do, Tom, and congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you do... Julian Lasseter. Oh, no. Oh, no, I can't believe it.
Eddie, after all these years. Well, I think I'm entitled to some kind of explanation, or perhaps it slipped your memory that you abandoned me 20 years ago in Nice.
I thought it was Cam.
Goodness, it's him. It's the man.
It was Nice, Eddie. You also stole my car.
Borrowed, Julian, borrowed.
Stole. I was and still am extremely angry, Eddie.
After 20 years, Julian.
You behaved abominably.
Well, so did you. You were perfectly odious.
I was not odious.
I think I'll get the coffee.
I think I'll come with you.
Well, Eddie, I'm waiting for your explanation. Why did you leave me?
Well, didn't you get my letter explaining everything?
You left a short, illegible scrawl explaining nothing. Why did you leave me, Eddie?
Oh, Julian, darling, I simply can't remember.
You could be more irritating than any woman I know. You surely must remember.
Is it so important?
No one has ever left me before.
Well, I can't think why.
Eddie, your nose still quivers when you're angry. It's quivering now.
Idiot. Nobody's noticed my nose for years. Nobody's noticed anything about me for years. Oh, Julian, how lovely it is to see you again. And do you know, you haven't changed at all. A little more distinguished, perhaps, but as handsome as ever. Do you remember Cam, Julian?
It was Nice, Eddie.
Oh, yes, of course. Blue sky, blue sea. How beautifully you used to suntan.
And how divine you looked in your beach pajamas. And that little sailor hat.
Oh, you remember my little sailor hat?
Your little sailor hat was you.
With the red pom-pom.
With that adorable red pom-pom.
Ah, we danced together on the terrace.
Do you remember our tune?
Yes, of course. Such a lovely tune.
Remember the name, Eddie?
Oh, yes, that thing. Yes, that's so lovely. Oh, I still get a thrill when I hear it. And how debonair you look, Julian. I was always so proud of you.
Eddie, what was our tune?
Well, it was something about love and and moonlight and love and moonlight.
Love and moonlight. That gives you a pretty wide choice. So much for our tune.
Now, Julian, I'm not going to bicker with you about our tune.
Very well. The subject is closed. Entirely closed. All the same, I suggest that you no longer call it our tune, since it obviously isn't our tune.
But, Julian...
I won't discuss it any further, except to tell you that I'm hurt. Deeply hurt.
Oh, rubbish.
Please, Abby. We'll change the subject.
Oh, very well. Seen any good plays?
How could I? I've only just arrived.
Well, surely you've read some books.
I have, and all extremely bad. This book here, for example, Tripe.
Travels on a Yak, Tripe? Well, everybody thinks it's marvelous.
Hack writing, pure, unadulterated hack writing.
Hack writing? Be careful what you say, Julian. I wrote it. Frank Kitchener is me.
Frank Kitchener is I.
No, me.
My dear Addie, the sentence is, Frank Kitchener is I. I'm a purist in these things.
You can be a Buddhist for all I care. Look, I'm telling you, I'm Frank Kitchener.
Are you trying to tell me you've written this book?
Oh, yes.
When were you in Tibet?
Never, but I wrote this book. Do you think I'm wicked?
Wicked? I think it's wonderful. I think you are wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, Julian, I love you for laughing. Oh, darling, darling, Julian. How glad I am that you're back again.
Caviar, cold chicken, strawberries and cream, cigar. What's all this in aid of?
Julian's coming to dinner.
Mummy, you haven't bought a new dress as well.
Oh, yes, darling, I'm afraid I have.
The money you've spent.
Oh, darling, I haven't a rag to wear. And I always had such glamorous clothes. Julian remembered that. I'll get it. Hello? Yes?
Oh, Jeff, Mummy's right here.
I'm not going to speak to him.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, Jeffrey, Mummy's right here.
Oh, Rose, how mean. Oh.
Oh, fancy hearing from you, Jeff. I thought you'd gone out of my life for good. The American. Oh, no, I got rid of him. I packed him off to Birkenhead. What? He was in your office an hour ago. Well, of course I'm not going to tell him I'm Frank Kitchener. Do you think I'm a half-wit? Oh, you do? Well, in that case, goodbye.
Mummy, you're not Frank Kitchener.
Oh, darling, it's nothing to be alarmed about. If we keep our heads, deny everything, and stick to the same story, I know I'll manage to wriggle out of it.
Mummy, how can you? Miss West says that you should always face up to your troubles and never wriggle out of them.
Miss West isn't being chivvied around by a killer who wants to bash her face against a wall and then take her to bed, piece by piece.
He didn't threaten you with that. How awful. I'll telephone old Faithful.
Oh, no, no, Rose, please.
But, Mummy, this is much more important than Uncle Julian coming to dinner.
Nothing is more important than Julian coming to dinner.
I really do believe you are in love with him.
I am.
But, Mummy, you couldn't be. He's so funny. He should be in a museum. He's a fossil, an old dodo.
An old what?
You know, one of those silly birds who couldn't swim and couldn't fly and got themselves exterminated. They were quite useless.
Not to other dodos, they weren't. Oh, Rose, you'll never understand. To you, he's a ridiculous old dodo. But to me, he's everything I've missed since your father died. The fun and excitement, being quite furious and then madly gay.
Oh, Rose, it's living again. Oh, I'm so awfully happy. Oh, Mummy, don't. Please don't. I didn't know you felt like that. Now, come on. We're in this together. You go and change while I get everything ready. If Uncle Jeff telephones again, you leave him to me. Nothing's going to spoil your evening.
Oh, it's rather lovely being mothered by my daughter. Must I send the dress back, or may I keep it?
You can keep it. Austerity begins tomorrow.
Thank you, darling.
And Mummy.
Yes, Rose?
I think Travels on a Yak is a wonderful book.
Oh, really, darling?
Yes. I loved every line of it. I thought the style truly impressive.
Oh, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Oh, bless you. Oh, dear, the front door. Answer it, darling. I'll dash upstairs and see to my puffy eyes.
You?
Yeah, me, Red Hayter.
You can't come in.
I'm in.
What do you want?
To see your mother.
Quite impossible. She's not at home.
Look, honey, I saw her come in.
Well, she's at home, but not to visitors. She's ill.
That's too bad.
So there's really no point in your staying, is there?
I'm gonna stay right here. Oh, gosh, I'm tired. I don't remember when I last got some sleep.
But you can't sleep here. Anyway, it's the very worst thing to do when you're tired. Go to sleep. I mean, you want to go out and enjoy yourself.
Is that a fact?
Yes, you want to go out dancing.
Alone?
Oh, you don't have to go on your own. There's me.
Oh, aren't you dated for tonight?
No, I'm footloose and fancy free. Come on, let's scram out of here.
Oh, well, let's go if that's the way you want it.
Oh, I do, more than anything else on earth.
It'll only be that wretched Jeff. Oh, ring away, you silly thing. I'm not going to answer you.
Eddie?
Oh, Jeff, you gave me a fright crawling through that window. I thought you were... Well, if that's not you on the telephone, who is it? Oh, now look what you've done. Now I'll never know who it was. Oh. Why don't you come in by the back window?
I thought that American might be in the front.
Is he?
No.
Then why frighten me like that? Rose? Rose!
Never mind, Rose. I've got to talk to you.
But where is she?
I don't know, and I care even less. Now, look here, Eddie.
Tom must have fetched her. She's having dinner with him. Honey, she didn't say goodbye. And she hasn't even started to set the table. Oh, well, you'll have to help me, Jeff. Do you think dinner looks all right?
It looks absolutely delicious.
I'm so glad you think so.
Caviar, cold chicken, champagne, strawberries and cream. What more could a man ask for?
Oh, look at the time. You must go.
Go? I haven't had my dinner.
Your dinner? Oh, but Jeff, dear, you didn't think that was your dinner, did you?
Well, actually, yes, I did, isn't it?
Well, no, Jeff. I'm afraid it isn't.
Well, if it isn't my dinner, whose is it?
Julian Lasseter's, an old and dear friend of mine.
I should have known the dinner wasn't for me. All I ever get is macaroni cheese.
Jealousy in a man of your age is just a little ridiculous, don't you think?
Not half as ridiculous as a woman of your age behaving like a romantic schoolgirl.
Exactly what do you mean by that?
You're a fool, Eddie, and I hope his dinner chokes him.
I'm not going to quarrel with you or allow you to spoil my evening. I'm just going to ask you quite quietly and reasonably to get out of here before I scream.
That's right. Behave like a fishwife. Well, enjoy your dinner. Good night, Eddie.
Oh. Good night, you beast. If I care about him... Calm down, Addie. Don't frown. Remember wrinkles. Oh, perhaps I'd better dim the lights just a little. There. The door's not locked. Come right in, darling.
Hello, Mrs. Lovell.
You, Tom?
Yes, me, Tom.
But where's your uncle?
Well, Uncle Julian couldn't get you on the telephone, so he asked me to tell you that he can't make the date. He's had to go to the airport.
The airport? Why?
Well, he says he's got a little something rather nice arriving from the south of France.
Oh, he has he? Something nice from France. And I said he was a cultivated, intelligent, sensitive man. Well, he's nothing of the sort. He's a dithering, doddering, dirty old dodo.
That was a wonderful dinner, Mrs. Lovell.
Well, we might as well finish the brandy.
Hmm.
Tom, I really am worried about Rose.
Oh, I'm not worried. I'm furious with her. I mean, we had a date, you know, and she breaks it. No message, no explanation. She just ditches me.
Well, Tom, here's to being ditched.
You know, I think it's wonderful the way you take things so lightly. More fun than being serious, isn't it?
Well, I've always thought so. But apparently that's out of date now.
Shall I tell you something, Mrs. Lovell?
You might as well, Tom.
It's just that I wish I'd been born when you were born.
Good heavens, Tom, why?
Well, I think you people had a jolly sight more fun than I'm going to have.
Mommy?
Oh, Rose, my dear.
Rose!
Did the American come back? He kicked me. He gave me the slip.
You went out with an American? But you had a date with me.
Just 1 minute, Tom.
She had a date with me.
Please, Tom. Now, what happened, Rose?
Well, he ordered the dinner and the drinks and then went to make a telephone call. And that's the last I saw of him.
Rose, you did all this for me, darling.
I didn't want your dinner with Uncle Julian spoiled.
Well, you wasted your time. Uncle Julian didn't turn up.
No, he went to pick up someone else at the airport.
Oh, Mummy.
Oh, Rose, you must be starving.
Come on, Rose, we're going out.
All right. Good night, Mummy, darling. And I think you're wonderful.
Oh, am I too early for supper?
Too early? What do you mean too early or too late? I'm washing the dishes.
Oh, but I warned you I'd be late. I told Tom.
Tom said you couldn't make our date because you had someone nice arriving from the south of France.
That boy's an idiot. I said I had to make it late as I'd something nice arriving. This, Addie, mimosa for you. I had it specially flown from Nice.
But I loathe mimosa.
Well, Addie, I shall now go out and get quite drunk.
Oh, Julian, do be your age. It's ridiculous to make such a fuss. Rose is quite right. These emotional scenes do date us.
Us? Dated?
Well, at least to Rose we are. She thinks we're just a couple of old dodos.
Dodos? Do I seem like an old dodo to you, Eddie?
No, darling. Do I seem like one to you, Julian?
Certainly not.
But I've just realized that perhaps I am one.
Then perhaps I'm one, too.
Mm, we've got to face it. We're fossilized freaks from the rip-roaring 30s.
You know, Addie, dear, the last two members of a dying race shouldn't quarrel. Dear, dear fossil.
Darling Dodo.
Don't answer it.
Oh, no. The last time I didn't answer it, it was you, and I was sorry. Hello? Oh, Rose, where are you, dear? At the police station? Tom arrested? Well, what's he done? Oh, I'll be down right away. Come along, Julian.
Where to?
The police station. Tom's hit an American and been arrested, and you must come and bail him out.
I wouldn't think of it. Let him stay there.
But you can't let your own kith and kin rot in jail.
Eddie, come here. I want to talk about us.
But Julian, what about poor Tom?
To the devil with poor Tom. He's ruined the evening for me.
Julian, darling, I'm asking you to come to the police station with me.
Eddie, dear, I'm making you a much more attractive proposition. Come to the Bahamas with me.
Oh, Julian, don't ask me now.
I am asking you now. You talk as though you get a proposal every day.
I do.
A serious proposal?
Oh, certainly. If there's one thing about Old Faithful, he's serious.
Who the devil's Old Faithful?
A very dear friend of mine who loves me madly and does anything I ask him. He wouldn't sit there bickering with Tom in jail. Now, come along, darling. I'm going. Oh, no.
Eddie. What's the matter?
We'll go by the back way. It's quicker.
But I thought I'd made myself quite clear, Addie. I'm not going.
Oh, very well, Julian. Stay here if you like, but you'll be sorry. Very, very sorry. And don't say I didn't warn you. Goodbye.
I think you're being most foolish.
Ah, so at last.
I beg your pardon?
I've been looking for you for a long time, and boy, am I going to enjoy working you over.
Work me over? Excuse me, but have we met before?
No, you've taken good care of that. Now listen, Mr. Frank Kitchener.
My name is Lassiter, Julian Lassiter.
Your name is Frank Kitchener.
Frank Kitchener. Now that rings a distant bell. Wait a minute. Oh, travels on a yak.
Travels on a yak. Yeah, hiding behind Mrs. Lovell like that, making her lie for you, bringing her down to your level, that lovely lady.
No wonder Addie slipped out when she did.
After all she did for you, the square meals, the place by the fire.
Oh, listen, you idiot. She's Frank Kitchener, not me.
And that cute little kid, Rose. You even had her working for you, too. Stand up and take your coat off.
Certainly not. I refuse to be involved in a brawl.
This isn't going to be a brawl. This is going to be a murder.
Now, look here. This is preposterous. I tell you, I'm not Frank Kitchener. My name's Lassiter, Julian Lassiter. Here's my driving license and a letter from my bank.
Oh, they're just as phony as that book of yours. Take your coat off.
Very well. If you choose to behave like a yokel, you can. But I will not have Mrs. Lovell's house broken up. There's a nice, quiet little yard at the back. We'll use that. I'll just go across and shut the back gate.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll shut the back gate.
This is too easy.
Hey, come back! Come back!
talk to you.
I don't wish to speak to anyone.
I came here to ask you a few questions, and you're not going till you've answered them. What are your intentions towards Mrs. Lovell?
At the moment, thoroughly murderous. Now go away while I telephone.
Who are you ringing?
The airport. The sooner I put the Atlantic between Addie and me, the safer I'll feel. Hello? Airport? I want to inquire about seats. Inquiries engaged. Yes, yes, I'll hold on, but hurry, woman, hurry.
So you're leaving?
Yes, yes, immediately.
But I thought that you and Addie were... Well, there was that dinner and the champagne and the candle.
There was no dinner and no champagne. And to top it all, she carelessly and deliberately left me to that murderous American. What a monstrous evening it's been.
But I thought that was the sort of hectic life you liked.
20 years ago, I had the stamina for it. But after one day with Addie Lovell, I realize I'm just a bright young thing with hardening arteries. My good woman, do hurry. This is urgent. Yes, I will now do a graceful fade out of Addie's life and leave her to that dreary bore, Old Faithful.
Old Faithful? Who's he?
Oh, I don't know. That's what Addie calls him.
Never heard of him. Old Faithful?
He proposes to her every day, apparently.
Oh, but that's impossible, because I propose. What did you say she called him?
Old Faithful. Sounds a complete doormat to me. Hello. Hello, I want inquiries.
A doormat? Old Faithful. Oh, we'll see about that.
Are you going?
I certainly am. I'm going to have a quiet little chat with Mr. Fred Hayter.
When Addie realizes that I've left her, she's going to get rather a shock tomorrow.
Oh, nothing to the shock she's going to get tonight. Goodbye.
Goodbye. No, not you. Have you any seats on tonight's plane to the Bahamas? Well, have you any seats on a plane going anywhere? Oh, you'll phone me back. Cheney 486. Rose, is your mother with you?
No, she's still arguing with the desk sergeant about poor Tom. Why aren't you down there helping her?
I'm waiting for a telephone call. Besides, the whole thing has nothing to do with me.
And you're supposed to love Mummy, but you won't do the smallest thing to help her. Love? You don't even know the meaning of the word. You come waddling out of the past with that dated old routine of darling this and darling that, and you call that love.
And what do you and Tom do to pass the time?
Tom and I are sensible adult people. We don't go in for that sort of nonsense.
There's something the matter with that boy.
Tom is a nice and solid and good chap.
So is a turnip.
Well, it's better to be a turnip and go out and hit someone than a useless old dodo who sits around all day and does nothing.
It was left to this useless old dodo to dispose of him.
You've disposed of Fred Hayter? When? Where?
Here, tonight.
But there's not a scratch on you. Tom got a black eye.
My dear child, there was no need for brawling. All that was required was a cool head, a touch of diplomacy, and a dash of mother wit.
Oh. Well, Uncle Julian.
Yes?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called you a useless old dodo.
No, not at all. There's nothing I enjoy more than a healthy exchange of insults. Don't you and Tom ever insult each other?
No, Uncle Julian.
But, my dear girl, everybody has rows. That is, if there's any emotion between them.
Miss West says that girls shouldn't lose their tempers. It makes them look unattractive.
Unattractive? What an extraordinary idea. Do you know that when you're angry, your nose quivers ever so slightly?
Does it? Does it really?
Yes, it's delicious. And you stand with your feet turned in.
Oh, dear.
It's quite adorable. You look like a madly regal Pekingese.
Do I?
Yes.
Uncle Julian, what wonderful things you say. You do make Tom seem rather, well...
Dull, dear?
Oh, no. But, oh, you're so awfully man of the worldish.
My dear girl, although I said myself, we Lassiters have always possessed a certain, well, shall we say, charm for women.
Oh. Rose, we're back. Oh, there's Mummy now. Oh, how I envy you both.
Flaming rows, passionate reconciliations. Dear heaven, it's not for me. I leave before she comes.
Pay the taxi, Tom. Hello? Oh, the airport. You want Mr. Lassiter? I'm afraid that Mr. Lassiter's not here, but I can take a message. There are seats on the night flight to New York. Oh, yes, yes, of course we'll be there. Mr. Lassiter and Mrs. Lovell. That's right, two seats side by side. Oh,
thank you so much. Rose, darling, did you hear? It's an elopement. Darling Julian, he had it all planned, so like him.
But he's not here. How can you elope alone?
Don't be silly, Tom. He's obviously gone to pack.
And that's what I must do.
Oh, dear, it's such a long time since I eloped, I can't remember how to do it. Now, what do I need? A clean handkerchief, my nail scissors, a new hat. Oh, this is exciting. I must go and get myself organized. Some people have all the fun. Others go through life like turnips.
We do?
We do. Nothing ever happens to us.
Well, quite a lot happened to me tonight.
Well, that was your own fault, brawling in public.
I like that.
There are other ways of dealing with people besides the ham-fisted way that you did.
Ham-fisted?
All that was required was a cool head, a touch of diplomacy, and a dash of mother wit.
Says who?
Says Uncle Julian. And he's right. He handles situations in a sophisticated way.
There was nothing very sophisticated about the carry-on he was having with your mother this morning.
But everybody has rows. That's if there's any emotion between them.
Well, what's emotion got to do with rows?
Everything. Blazing rows and passionate reconciliations. That's love.
Oh, thank goodness we're not emotional.
Well, you may not be, but I am.
I've never noticed it.
You never notice anything. You've never even noticed that my nose quivers when I'm angry.
Does it?
Yes, deliciously. And my feet turn in.
That's bad.
It's not bad. It's adorable. What's more, I look like a madly regal Pekingese.
Says who?
Says Uncle Julian.
Look, he can't go around saying things like that about you.
But I like them. Oh, you wouldn't understand. Uncle Julian's a sensitive, emotional man. And you're a dote. An absolute dote. I never want to see you again.
Oh, no, Rose. Please, darling, I...
Take your hands off me.
No. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I shall go home now.
Here's a parting gift.
That's very funny. Throwing vases is juvenile.
Here's another.
Oh, look, that nearly hit me, you spiteful little cat.
You brute, you brute.
Just wait until I get hold of
you. Don't touch me. You're hurting me.
I'll do more than that. I'm going to give you a touch of diplomacy, a dash of mother wit, and a darn good hiding.
Oh, Tom, you're hurting me.
Good. Oh, darling.
Oh, Tom, darling.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Tom, how wonderful. We've had a flaming row.
Yes. Yes, and I enjoyed it. Let's have lots of rows. And Rose, let's get married.
Yes, Tom, yes. When?
Right away.
You mean elope?
Yes, elope. And I don't want any argument.
How?
How? Well,
I know. Let's hop in the car.
Whose?
Anybody's car. Uncle Julian's car.
Uncle Julian's car?
Well, why not? It's at the door. Start it up and drive it off. Oh, Tom, this is exciting.
Isn't it? Come on, let's go.
But I must leave a letter.
Yes, but hurry up and keep it short.
But I must explain about the car and us being in love and we hope they don't mind and everything.
Well, keep it short. Say, decided to elope, love Rose.
Yes, Tom.
Come along, Rose.
Yes, Tom. You know, Tom, Mummy was absolutely right. I see it now. Love should be blazing rows and passionate reconciliations, crying your heart out and laughing your head off. Life should be fun. Come on, Tom. We're going to have fun. And to the devil with Miss West. Oh, Julian, darling, come in. I'm nearly packed.
Packed?
Yes, darling. The airport did telephone. There are seats.
Seats?
Yes, darling, two seats. Side by side. I've arranged it all. Just the sort of elopement I've always dreamed of, darling.
What? Eddie, I'm afraid you made a mistake.
No, darling. 20 years ago I made the mistake. I spoiled our last elopement, but this time I shall go through with it to the bitter end.
Eddie, will you listen to me?
Now, darling, do let's hurry. I always think that when elopements go off the boil...
Off the boil? I've seldom heard a more unsavory term applied to something that's supposed to be beautiful and romantic. Where is Tom?
Why, Tom, dear?
Because the idiot's got the key of the flat in his pocket, and in the flat is my passport.
Oh, silly Julian. I've got the key of Tom's flat. The desk sergeant gave it to me.
Then why in the name of heaven didn't you tell me?
You never asked me.
You should have told me. No, no, Eddie, dear, we're not going to have a row. I'm going to get my passport.
I'll come with you. I'm ready.
Ready?
Yes, I'm all packed. Look, my sponge bag.
Packed? Eddie, look, you can't cross the Atlantic with nothing but a sponge bag. Now... Now, run upstairs and pack properly, and I'll go and get my passport.
All right, but don't be long, darling Julian.
Dearest Eddie. Well, that's got rid of her. Now to make good my escape.
Oh, no, Eddie. Eddie, my car's been stolen. Eddie.
Eddie!
Your car's been stolen.
Yes, it's gone.
Are you sure?
Well, of course I'm sure.
But who could have taken it?
Oh, all the fatuous questions.
Now, don't get so fussed. Somebody's probably just moved it round the corner. I'll get our local police, the desk sergeant, the sweetie.
Well, hurry up.
Well, the number's on the pad somewhere.
Oh, give me that pad.
Here.
Mummy. There's a message from Rose. Mummy decided to elope, love, Rose.
Elope? Oh, isn't that lovely? Just like us. And he took your car, clever Tom.
Clever Tom, how dare he?
What are you doing?
Dialing 999. I want my car back.
Oh, Julian, when we're so happy, how can you stand in the way of their happiness?
Very well, Eddie. They can have my car.
Oh, that's sweet of you.
Not at all. I'm delighted they should have my car. Goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yes, Eddie. No car. No elopement.
You really are a funny old thing. What's wrong with eloping in a taxi?
A Lassiter would not be seen dead eloping in a taxi.
All right, Julian. A little thing like a taxi shan't come between us now. We'll hire a car.
Now, that's a splendid idea. You get the car, and I'll get my passport.
Oh, this is exciting. Julian, hurry.
Hurry, you won't see me for dust. That much is certain. Goodbye.
Hello? Night service? Have you a smart chauffeur-driven car for an elopement? Oh, good. 8 Cheney Mews, Chelsea. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, dear Julian. So eager. He must have run all the way there and back. You?
Yes, me, Eddie. And I brought a mutual friend. Come in, friend.
Oh, Jeff, no. I'm expecting a friend any moment, so you really must go, Jeff.
Friend? What friend?
That's my business, Jeff. Now, please go.
Yeah, Mrs. Lovell, we'll go. But I thought you'd like to hear how Mr. Martin's fixed everything up.
Some other time, Fred.
Here's the key to my flat. Would you like to go and wait there while I get busy and fix your flight to New York?
Oh, you're sure very kind, Mr. Martin. I'll be seeing you.
Jeff, darling, you're brilliant. I didn't know you could be so clever.
Clever, Eddie?
Getting rid of him like that. He'll be at the other side of the Atlantic tomorrow, and that's the last we'll see of him.
But, Eddie, dear, I think you've made a mistake. You see, you're going to hand over all your ill-gotten gains. It's all here in the contract.
What contract?
This one. The one you're going to sign.
Sign? I wouldn't think of it.
Either you sign or I'll get Fred back and we'll give the whole story to the press.
The papers? Oh, Jeff, darling, do let's discuss this some other time. Why don't you come to dinner next week?
Macaroni cheese, I suppose.
Oh, darling, how could you? Champagne, of course.
Oh, no, thank you, Eddie. From now on, our relationship is strictly business. Sign.
You know what this is, Jeff? Blackmail.
Yes, that's just exactly what it is. Here's my pen. Sign.
I can't think how you can do this to me. You, who were supposed to be in love with me.
Ah, that was when I was Old Faithful.
Oh, so you know about that.
Yes, and I'm not Old Faithful anymore. A sign over the stamp, Eddie, that makes it binding.
I never knew you could be like this, bullying and browbeating me.
Sign, Eddie.
Give up all my lovely royalties. It's signing my life away. All right, I will sign. There's your silly old contract. Much good will it do you.
I warn you, Eddie. I shall hold you to this.
You try. I'll be miles away, lotus eating in the Bahamas. Now run along and let me get on with my elopement.
Elopement?
Yes, with Julian. We're taking the night flight to New York. Oh, here is Julian now. Julian, darling, I've had a perfectly terrible time.
You've had a terrible time? Do you know what you did to me, you silly woman? You gave me this wrong key. Now, for heaven's sake, give me the right one for Tom's flat and let me get out of here.
But what about our elopement?
Your elopement, not mine. I was going home quietly to the Bahamas when you came and attached yourself to me like a leech.
Did you say leech?
Yes, unasked and uninvited.
Then you weren't going to elope with me?
I was not.
But it was all arranged.
Not by me, it wasn't.
But, Julian, you can't do this. I just signed a terrible contract with Jeff.
That's too bad, Eddie, but it's nothing to do with me.
Well, it is. I only signed it because I thought I'd been miles away with you in the Bahamas. Oh, what shall I do?
You'd better elope with Old Faithful instead.
Old Faithful? But he's Old Faithful.
Who? He is? Oh, no. Oh, poor Eddie. Oh, so you're Old Faithful.
Yes.
Yes, and you've got her where you want her.
Thanks to you, yes. Old Faithful, it gave me ideas.
You're very welcome.
So you're at the bottom of all this, Julian. I should have known that Jeff would never stoop so low. But he's a gentleman, and you're not.
Look out, Old Faithful. She'll have you proposing to her again.
Oh, no fear of that. My proposing days are over.
And hang on to that contract. Don't let her wriggle out of it.
Don't you worry. She can't find a loophole here.
Oh, can't I? Well, I have already. My signature isn't witnessed. What are you going to do about that?
I'll witness it.
You traitor! For 20 years I've cherished your memory as a man of honor. How could you do this to me?
Because I am a dodo, Eddie. I came waddling out of the past, gave the old mating call, and wham! We went into that old routine again, and it nearly killed me. I'm the last member of a dying species, and I'm not going to allow myself to be exterminated by you.
But, Julian, I'm a dodo too, remember?
You? A dodo? I've never met anyone with the instinct for self-preservation so well developed. Watch your step, Old Faithful. Addie has always been the most maddening, irritating, and irresistible woman I know. Bless her. Oh, now let me get back to the Bahamas and relax.
Are you going to cherish his memory for another 20 years, Addie?
Certainly not. Darling this, darling that, sheer piffle. I've had a very lucky escape.
Then you're not heartbroken?
The person who's broken my heart is you, Jeff. To think that I've been nurturing a serpent in my bosom all these years.
I've never been nurtured by you, Addie, in any way at all. I've been a doormat, and nobody nurtures a doormat. From now on, it's business between us, strictly business. I brought something to celebrate our new relationship. Champagne.
Oh, Jeff. Don't you think a contract is rather a dull thing to drink to?
Oh, I can't think of anything better.
Well, I can. I was thinking we might save it, for the next time you propose to me.
I told you, Addie, that I wouldn't propose to you again.
Oh, Jeff, don't be nasty. Well, what I meant was, if you were to propose to me now...
Addie, are you proposing to me?
Certainly not. I haven't the remotest intention of proposing to you.
Well, not a very attractive way of not proposing.
Mm-hmm. But, Jeff, think of it. If we got married, you'd get me and your 10% and all my royalties.
That, without doubt, must be one of the most attractive proposals ever made. I feel I must accept.
Well, shall we tear up that silly old contract now?
Oh, no, Addie. I shall keep it in my safe alongside our marriage certificate.
Oh, you know, Jeff, I don't think I ever really appreciated you before tonight.
So the dodo's call wasn't entirely wasted.
No. Clever, Jeff.
Silly Addie?
Yes, Jeff. You know, Rose was absolutely right. I see it now. Love is just a question of two adult people whose minds and emotions are in complete harmony. Like us, Jeff.
Like us, Addie.
Poor old Dodo. Just think of him on that night flight to New York with an empty seat beside him.
Hello? Fred? No, I haven't forgotten about you, Fred. Now listen. You're flying to New York tonight. Get in a taxi and go straight to the airport. The seat is booked in the name of Mrs. Lovell. No, that lovely lady won't be on the plane. But you won't be lonely. No, you haven't got time to give anybody a poke on the nose now. Save that till you get on the plane. Oh, don't thank me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, Jeff, what have you done? Oh, naughty you.
In tonight's presentation of Dodo in Love, you heard British radio and film actor Dick Bentley as Julian Lasseter, Valerie Miller as Addie, and Erica Rogers as Rose. Others in the cast were Harold Freed, Derek Taylor, and Roger Service. Dodo in Love was produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. It was recorded before an audience in Durban. This is Dennis Smith bidding you all good night.